Somebody give me my theme music. Yeah. Welcome to On and Off the Field Sports Podcasting with a Purpose. I got my On the Field coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation, a.k.a. Draft Happy.
Yeah.
A.k.a. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
And it's your boy, Mr. You Better Live Your Off the Field Coach, your life coach, a.k.a. Mr. Football Know It All, a.k.a. Mr. Coach. We back. Welcome to another episode of On and Off the Field. We in the building. What up, Coach?
What up? What it do?
Episode 3,
Life After the Draft.
I like it.
Life After the Draft.
Let's get into it, bro. Wow, a lot to happen, man. A lot to happen. I love it.
It's a big weekend to be a sports fan.
Episode 3, Life After the Draft. I like that. So, look. Let's get this started, man.
Let's do it.
So, the draft last Thursday, right? Started?
Yep.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All right. And let's get our thoughts on this draft, bro. My thoughts on the draft, well, everybody had their mocks. People been doing mock drafts since what? When the mock start? Right after the season?
Right after the season started.
Mock draft. Everybody got it.
After the season started, everybody had a mock draft every other week.
But the big thing was quarterbacks, and we'll get into that. With the so, what's your favorite team draft review? Let's
so you know, I'm a Steelers fan,
right?
So I'm real happy.
So how'd y'all do?
I think we did well. We had an A plus grade by Mel Kiper. So whatever that means, you know.
And Kiper
knows his stuff.
I like Kiper.
For the better part of all the columnists and journalists seem to have picked that Steelers had a really good draft.
Right.
We got some really good players.
So as far as at the quarterback position, we know what happened. You got Justin Fields
and Russell Wilson.
So do you think they built that? Here's the question I need to ask you. So in them building, do you think they built for one particular quarterback or just whichever quarterback is going to be the one to play?
Whichever quarterback is going to be the one to play. We got a center. And he's solid. We got a top offensive tackle rated tackle in the draft. So he's solid.
Do you think they have to plan different for Russell Wilson quarterback on the Fields?
I don't think so.
Or you just build the same structure?
Yeah, it's the Steelers line. So
it's gonna be the Steelers. Yeah. Right. The
physical,
Steelers gonna be the Steelers.
Physical smash mouth football.
Who they got for running back?
Who, the Steelers?
Yes.
Oh, your boy, Najee
Harris.
From
Alabama, Najee Harris.
Najee Harris.
Right.
And Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren, though, is the one.
Where did he come from?
I believe Indiana, Purdue University, Jaylen Warren. Yeah.
So you mean to tell me he's going to be a better prospect than
he played as good as Najee Harris last year? He was a 1-2 punch.
Najee a beast, bro.
Jaylen Warren was the one though. He the one that sparked us a lot of times on offense.
Really?
Yeah. Surprisingly, because you think Najee Harris, he would be the guy.
You would think so,
but Jaylen Warren was the one who came on strong. Yeah. Then Najee brought it back. So they were both. Then they end up being a 1-2 punch.
So you think they can work together?
Absolutely.
Is Najee bigger than him?
Yes. Jaylen Warren is small.
So he's like a crotch rocket back.
Yes.
Okay. Najee gonna run between the tackles.
Yes.
And Warren will take the jet sweep type, whatever.
Exactly.
He can do the read option with the Fields or.
Oh, man.
Oh my goodness. Ooh. That would be dangerous.
Jaylen Warren was tough. You need to check him out. He's tough. He had a good year.
All right. So, Penix to the Falcons. I got a few. Let me say this. The question stands is why, one, did Atlanta do what they did with
Cousins? You paid them all that money.
Two, was it smart?
I don't think so. You look at it two ways, and if you look at it this way, you say, well, why'd you do this in the first place? If you're saying that Kirk Cousins isn't going to come back from the Achilles tear, because he tore his Achilles.
And people not acting like he's not, that he didn't do that.
And he was unathletic already.
And then Aaron Rodgers just had an Achilles tear.
Correct. So at that age, it's not guaranteed that he's going to come back. So then the question remains, well, why did you pay him all that money? And then you say, well, why draft Penix? Well, if you don't think he's going to be there, you got to have the best available option. And Penix, I think, is a good quarterback. But you didn't do Cousins any service by giving him any weapons either.
Okay, I agree with what you're saying, but they shouldn't have given Cousins that much money.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying. They should have held back some. Don't do that. What do you got, 180?
total? 180?
A lot of money.
He got 180.
He got a bag.
He got 180, bro.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were mad at him.
I think 100 is guaranteed, if I'm not
mistaken.
But
it's a 180, but 100 guaranteed. That's a lot of money.
Lots
for
of money.
For a quarterback that's never been to the playoffs,
right.
Got two highlights. One with the Redskins, you right. like how you like, and then the right. other one with the Vikings against New Orleans.
Right.
When the DB, bless his heart, closed his eyes and just dove at the ball. It's not like Cousins made this spectacular throw.
No, he's a middle-tier quarterback. I mean, you know, if you don't – when Atlanta signed Cousins, I don't care for how much money, no one said, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl.
No.
They only talked about the contract because that's the only thing that was interesting was the contract. It's not like Atlanta became Super Bowl worthy with Kirk Cousins. Any more worthy than Minnesota was Super Bowl worthy with Kirk Cousins.
And let me say this. Kirk Cousins fit, to me, better at Minnesota than in Atlanta. The culture is different. Kirk Cousins, come on, bro. He's not going to be down there.
Look, his I think the wife is from Atlanta. You know, he's going back home.
Yeah, that's
you know,
fact.
And
that's
he got $100 million to sit that's on the porch true. And sip some tea in the wow. offseason. Come on. Yeah.
So do you think the Falcons benefit off Penix?
I think long term, I mean, I like him. I like Penix as a quarterback. Long term, he may be the answer.
What was the contract length with Cousins? They gave him what, 180 over?
I think it was 4 years. I think 3 or 4 years.
Dude, you don't want a Jason Campbell Penix. You know what I mean when I say Jason Campbell. Jason Campbell came. Washington drafted Jason Campbell, and he sat behind. Fat, you know who he was. Come from Florida. Trash, bro. He sat behind him. Rex Grossman. For 3 solid years, yeah. He sat on the bench. And yeah. Jason Campbell was a way better quarterback.
I thought so, too.
He wasted talent. So I don't want that to be with Penix. So I don't know.
Well, what about Caleb Williams? Jada Daniels.
I think Jaden Daniels was the best quarterback in the draft. Personally, I think he should have went
number one.
Right. If I was Chicago, I would have pulled the fast one.
I'm not sold on Caleb Williams.
At all.
I'm not sold on him.
And I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you why I'm not. And then I want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I'm looking at not just on the field, but he shows some things on the sideline mm-hmm. during the pressure situation, throwing a fit and tantrum and all that.
Right.
And he's very, very, very flamboyant.
Correct.
He's not humble.
He reminds me of Johnny Manziel in a way.
You said that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't.
The way he plays too, his scrambling,
yes,
unorthodox,
the throwing
play.
Off the one leg, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So that's why they're trying to equate him with Patrick Mahomes. They need to stop that.
There's no comparison
stop
to Patrick
that,
Mahomes.
Bro.
There's only one Mahomes.
That's where they went wrong. People say, "Oh, I want to look
like
for the next Mahomes."
He's more like Johnny Manziel than
right.
Patrick Mahomes.
Stop looking for the next Mahomes.
No,
dude.
He's more like Johnny Manziel. Than
he is. Yeah. Now that you mention that, I totally agree with you. But I don't think he's going to be successful. Not just because of his on the field attitude, but I think that. It'll spill over on the off the field, and he'll be a distraction in the locker room.
Yeah, he's painting his fingernails.
Paint, bro.
I'm not digging that. But and he's the lead. He's supposed to be the leader of the team. We'll see. Training camp opens up. And look, I'm not saying that he's not going to be able to play, but. To have that success,
he's not humble. There's no humility.
You
got
to come in with a clear slate, and everybody's gunning for you already.
He already
so don't
made
do anything
him,
to put another bullseye on your
too
top.
Late.
Yeah,
when you had the pink phone case and the pink and on the driver, his fingernails was pink.
He got the bears on him now.
Are they pink bears?
No.
What
in,
color
they're
bears?
In the Bears colors. They're in the Bears colors.
You can't play for the Chicago Bears, bro, and be hot dog water.
Yeah, no.
You're not called a hot dog water
because
it look moist. It look already shiny. So hot dog water. I'm sorry. All right. So I think Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback.
I think so, too.
I think he's going. And I'm going to say this.
He's the best thing Washington's had
I'm going to say
a long
this.
Time.
And I think it was you that reminded me because I told you how I thought the ownership at Washington sucked. That's why.
They're under new ownership. Now.
Right.
Yeah. New ownership,
so,
new coaching staff, everything.
I want to see Jaden Daniels do good.
I think he will do well. He's going to come in day one and be ready. He's
so,
a day one player.
Washington, as far as weapons for him, he got some decent wide receivers.
I'm not even following Washington, but I mean, look, you got the piece that you need at quarterback.
He's due.
Now the next job is to put weapons around him on the line, protect him, and you got to get some players to offset, you know, his skill level.
And you know what's good about the East right now? It's not stiff competition in the East right now. In the NFC East.
He could come in and do well in that.
Giants not looking good.
I mean, who do the Giants have? Daniel Jones? Nobody. They have a draft regret on Daniel Jones.
And dude, the Eagles, I'm not sold on the Eagles. I'm sorry. I know we're not talking about them. I'm not sold on the Eagles, and I'm not sold on the quarterback for the Eagles. I'm not.
Jalen
Hurts. I'm not.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to do as good as we think. Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh.
Jalen Key, Bama safety, transferred from UAB.
Yeah, man. How about that?
That's a good story.
That is. He goes, you know, obviously, here's where the transfer portal works. He plays at UAB. He balls out.
Right.
Transfers up in competition to Alabama.
Right.
Doesn't have that same type of role that he had at UAB, but he's playing under Nick Saban's final year.
Right.
I mean,
which is
big.
Right. Beneficial in and of itself.
It adds to his pedigree.
Right. And plus, so, he's going to learn a lot. Hell of a lot.
Exactly. So he may come in, and I'm not saying he's going to be like Brock Purdy's success, but he may come in and make it. You never know.
Mr. Irrelevant. They kept calling him that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that though.
It's a copyrighted name now.
It is. Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. Yeah. But Purdy being
they
the
come
one.
On stage with the jersey, Mr. Irrelevant, now at the draft.
That's crazy.
What about Detroit, man?
Man.
Detroit set the attendance record for the draft.
That was good.
Yeah. They were deep.
You know what I like about the draft being in Detroit and just the last 5-10 years, you know, Detroit been having that issue with the, you know, lead and the water. Right. And the city kind of nosedive financially.
True.
But they're doing things to put Detroit back on the map. That's the Motor City, bro.
The Pistons went 0 for what? Have they won 5 games yet?
Right. But they're doing things that, like Detroit, though, you know, is getting back on the map. Right. I like the fact that they had the draft there.
Yeah.
How do they vote for the draft in what city?
I think it comes when you, for the Super Bowl, I think, didn't they host a Super Bowl or something? Or did they bid?
I'm not sure.
And we need to check on that one.
Yeah, see what they
we'll
do.
We'll come back on the next podcast. Yeah, I want to see how they do that. We'll have an answer for you on the next one.
You know, we do it on the On and Off the Field, y'all. We find out everything we need to know. Shout out to us for even bringing it up. So, look, here's another one. Jerry Rice's son.
Got drafted by the Chargers.
Right. So, yeah. he stays on the East in the Bay. So, he has to stay in the Bay. So
he ain't gotta go. That's amazing.
It is amazing, bro.
To get drafted, to be Jerry Rice's son and get drafted, that's pretty intense.
Right. But he was at USC.
USC. Yeah.
So, big college.
Yeah.
Known for football recruits.
Mm-hmm.
Known for, like, you know.
He did well. He had a good year. And again, you can't compare him to Jerry Rice.
You know you got to say that. Because that's immediately what people going to do.
But you just got to say, but if you
don't
Brendan.
If you don't tell me, I am.
You just got to say Brendan.
That's Brendan Rice.
Brendan is the receiver. You can't compare him to Jerry Rice.
What kind of size he got? Is he 6?
Yeah, he's got a good size. He's like 6'1", 6'2".
Okay. He's about the same size as dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry Rice had, listen, Rice had elusive speed, bro.
Oh, and an incredible work ethic.
Oh,
the discipline and work ethic he had.
The camp he
off
had.
The field.
He used to bring them players over there, bro. Yeah.
As good as he was, he had the best work ethic of all the players on the team.
They'd be like dish rags when he got done with them with that heel, bro.
I know.
Adrian Peterson went 1 year.
He had a lot of NFL players that go there.
Why?
And they all said, "Wow." Yeah.
And Rice had been retired and was still running the balls in the ground, man.
Yep.
So, yeah.
You remember loose. Frank Gore?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what?
His son got signed as a free agent. Didn't get drafted, but his son signed as a free agent. You know, he played the Southern Miss.
Yeah, he was upset, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Frank Gore said he was under arrest. So they gonna Buffalo's got a steal because the Buffalo signed him as a free agent.
Frank Gore was a beast, bro.
Frank Gore was
He was tough.
Beast.
That dude had, he blew his knee 3 times.
When he went to...
And still balled out like that.
And that was in college. I mean, in the pros.
In the pros. He blew his knee 3 times.
In college, he blew his knee out also.
So
he came from Miami. He played at Miami.
In the pros, he did it alone 3 different times.
And he did it twice
so
in Miami.
Blew his, 5 times. Yeah. Then. But the way he played, nobody, you wouldn't think people, the average person wouldn't come back from those kind
of
knee injuries.
And to
like
play
that
right? long of career at a running back?
Bruh. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
All right. What Dawn Staley was wearing at the draft.
What you think she was wearing at the draft? She's at the crib in South Carolina. What you think she got on? You know she got on some Louis.
Right.
She got on an Eagles jersey. She probably got on Jalen Hurst jersey.
Right.
And some Louis.
Some Louis.
She got on some Louis.
Got some Louis. She, yeah.
She a diva now. She
all
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yeah. I like Dawn Staley.
Shout out to Dawn Staley, bro.
Shout out to Dawn Staley.
I still want to interview her.
Dawn, we want to interview you.
We need to get you on here, Dawn. We want to hold you for about a good 15 minutes.
So tell me, check it out. We're talking about the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me which state has had the most NFL players drafted in history. Which state do you think?
Alabama.
Alabama? No.
Let me give me one
close.
More. Hold on.
Close geographically.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Hint.
It's either Georgia or Florida.
Florida.
Wow.
Florida.
Okay.
Who do you think is second?
Alabama.
Nope.
Georgia.
Texas. Then California. Then Georgia.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Alabama's got 87. They're like, I think, top 10. But that's good for Alabama.
That is good.
You know, you got to look at those states with all those.
I never thought about that question until you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. And who was and Florida's number one.
Florida's number one.
Wow.
Which is interesting because every year they have the most blue chip All-Americans in high school.
I think, you know what I think you're going to find is funny. I think from 1980 to like 1995, the Miami Hurricanes attributed to a lot of that. They was damn near drafting the whole squad.
Well, before The Secret got out, Miami, you know, had all those players locked down.
Right.
It was called the State of Miami.
So, it's a plethora of them coming, bro. The whole Miami Hurricane. You got to recruit all of them. Everybody from every position.
Yeah.
Think about it. Running back. I can't remember his name. What was his name? The running back with Ray Rice. Oh, number 20.
For who?
For Miami.
You got
come on.
Frank Gore, Willis McGahee.
That's who I'm talking about.
McGahee was
number
tough.
21.
He was tough. Till he got hurt. He tore his knee too.
Willis McGahee. He was number 21.
Yeah, McGahee was tough.
Dude, you recruit at every position. You know what I heard about?
You know, one year we had McGahee, Clinton Portis.
Oh, I remember Clinton Portis.
Clinton Portis. And oh my God, what's the other guys? Three NFL players in the backfield at one time.
Frank Gore. That's crazy. You know what I heard about Vinny Testaverde? I heard that he was a physical phenom. Like, they said that physically, he was a phenom. Like the what's his name, brothers that play? The defensive tackle brothers.
He was a big guy. Testaverde was a big guy. Yeah, he's a big guy. Big Italian.
Look at, bro.
Yeah, he was a big guy Italian.
And he must have had a cannon on his arm, bro.
Yeah, he could play. Heisman Trophy winner. Come on, man.
You could recruit probably every position at Miami from like 85.
They did. But you know, they had,
that's why
again,
they
had
Florida
the best
winning.
They had the best talent down there, and they got all those players to come there. And so that's why they balled out. Over the years, they stopped, you know, putting into the program. And the other programs, SEC, became an arms race, you know, to have the best facility, the best stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The best locker room.
Now I wasn't about to gridiron anymore. Ray Lewis,
mm-hmm.
The linebacking core from Ray Lewis is at Miami for how many years?
He was there.
Before we move on, I got to know this. So the linebackers that was with him, I guarantee you, every linebacker that played with Ray Lewis was highly recruited in the NFL too. Was
I mean, the whole Miami team.
That's what I just said, dude. That's what attributes to the number. That's why Florida is winning. The Hurricanes had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like the Gators did what the Hurricanes did in the 80s.
No.
They didn't.
Florida State came close.
But they didn't.
But they didn't.
No other Florida team did what.
Miami led the way.
Exactly.
With NFL players
on
the draft.
That's my point.
Lately, they haven't had it. And that's why you could see the results on the field are equal to the results in the draft. You don't see as many players.
Yeah.
But they're, hopefully that'll
change.
They're
not the Hurricanes of old.
No.
Definitely not, dude. Mm-hmm. They really don't need to go back to that because that was a dangerous team. on and off the field. So, all right, look.
All
right, the biggest draft bust, man, 2007.
This is interesting.
Jamarcus Russell or 1989 Tony Mandarin. Now you got some numbers, I think, Coach.
I want to look. I want you to check this out.
You showed me this off camera.
So we talk about the biggest draft bust,
right?
Let's go 1989
all
draft.
Right. All right.
Troy Aikman went number one.
Okay.
And then the Packers took. Tony Mandarich,
right,
the lineman,
the big lineman.
Who never panned out,
right?
Guess who went after him? I'm a list five players that got drafted after Tony Mandarich.
This about to be crazy.
Barry Sanders,
that's crazy.
Derek Thomas,
Pro Bowl.
Deion Sanders,
Pro Bowl. Hall
Steve
of Fame.
Atwater,
Pro Bowl. Hall of
and
Fame.
Your boy Lawyer Tillman.
Nah, he's the only one on there. Not shout out to Lawyer Tillman, bro.
Hey, so you got four Hall of Famers,
right?
Not players.
No, Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
Barry Sanders.
Derek Thomas.
Come on, bro.
Deion Sanders and Steve Atwater.
All of them Hall of
Famers. All of them Hall of Famers.
Facts.
So.
And Mandarich went
before
Mandarich
them. And Mandarich went number two before them.
And was a straight bust.
Straight bust.
Nah.
Now, the other one.
Jamarcus.
Your local boy.
They call him Biscuits and Syrup.
Biscuits.
Because he was so let serve, so they and it made him big, so they called him Biscuits and Syrup. They did.
I think he
bro.
Might win just on that alone.
They, they had nicknamed him Biscuits and Syrup, bro.
Oh my God!
They did
Biscuits and Syrup.
Yes.
All right. In 2007,
Biscuits and Syrup. All right.
Oh my God!
All right, you were gonna call it Biscuits and Syrup.
Biscuits and Syrup.
Okay.
In 2007, he went number one.
All right.
To the Raiders. And these players went after.
Oh, man.
Calvin Johnson.
Megatron.
Adrian Peterson.
Hall of Fame. Is Adrian Peterson Hall of Fame?
He gonna be if
okay.
he not already.
Yeah, he Pro Bowl.
Darrell Revis.
Hall of Fame.
Ted Ginn.
Should be.
Joe Thomas.
Oh, man, bro.
So those players went right after Jamarcus Russell in 2007.
And he's the biggest bust.
I think we got to go with... Biscuits and Syrup.
He got Biscuits and Syrup. Got it, bro.
Biscuits
he,
and Syrup.
He got the belt.
Biscuits and Syrup.
With a name.
You know. I drove him.
Oh, man. You
a few times. And I said one. I said at one point, we were at the Waffle House. This was about 5 in the morning.
That's, now you see why you call them Biscuits and Syrup.
Yeah, exactly.
You finna tell me.
And I wanted to say to him, it was like I had an out-of-body experience as a father. I wanted to say to him, man, you are fucking up.
Bad.
Yeah. I really wanted to say that to him. But I didn't. I just kept quiet and stuff. But, you remember that there was the joke they had the coach, and one coach said, man, Jamarcus Russell can throw 60 yards from his knees. Then the other coach said, yeah, but he can't hit the receiver on his feet. Enough about him. Enough about him. Enough biscuits and syrup. That's enough. Enough, enough, enough.
Hold on, bro.
I'm crying.
I want to do something special. I want to do something special now.
I'm crying, bro.
I want to talk about...
All right.
I want to do a Yoda moment.
All right. I don't know nothing about this, y'all.
So when I met you...
All right.
I met you. You were on the drive of the Riverview.
Right.
And Nicholas Kidd.
Right.
And I believe there was another guy. And Shelton. Remember Shelton?
Right.
It's all standing on the drive.
Shout out to Shelton.
Shout out to Shelton. Rest in peace.
Right.
And we were talking, and you and Nicholas were talking about the devil having the answer behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us that story again?
Okay. All right. That was based on a scripture that says, with every temptation, God provides you with a way of escape.
Okay.
So in other words, the devil is the one that comes with the temptation. Right?
Right.
But he also, before he leaves, because he has to get permission from God even to even tempt you.
Right.
So the devil has to get permission from God. So when he goes, literally, to get permission, because it's in that book of Job, you couldn't do nothing without God giving permission. So anyway, it's funny you bring that up. So when God allows these things to happen, he also tells the devil, now, you have to take with you a way of escape. So, when the devil comes and shows you the temptation, he's got one hand behind his back. If you ever pause, and because the temptation is big. When temptation hits you, the tingly feeling,
yeah,
whole 9 yards, you feel like you got to do it.
Right.
But if we were to ever pause and say, you know what? What's behind your back? What's in your other hand? He has to say, "It's here you go.
Ah.
It's the way of escape."
Ooh, I like that. I
so
like
that's
that.
What that was about.
Ooh.
Shout out to you, man, for remembering that.
Yoda, hey, man. That was, I was standing talking to someone else, and I heard you guys say that behind me, and I asked you to say it again. And
wow.
Then I remember Nicholas was doing the shucking and jive dance he does.
Right, right, yeah.
And he was, you know, explaining it as well.
Right, right.
And then that moment, that's why I joined your church.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow! I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was that's why. Whoa. That's when I joined. That's when I went to your church. Probably a week or so after that.
Wow!
Yeah,
I like the Yoda moment, man. But yeah,
that's... Well, we go. Oh, you ain't finished. So in our last interview with Coach Trish Roberts,
right,
the Forgotten Lady Vol, and we're working on that, by the way.
We need to get that statue up.
We're working on that.
We need to get the jersey hung in the banner. They need to do right.
That's right. She talked about Matthew 24 as right. as her go-to.
Right.
Can you just give us a brief, quick synopsis of what she kind of meant by saying for Matthew 24? Why should those listening read Matthew 24? And what would you expect to get out of reading Matthew 24?
The reason you need to read it is because Jesus is actually talking about, he's giving breadcrumbs. He's giving clues as to when the end of the age will be, or the system of things, which is the government.
Okay.
What the Bible says, the system of things is our government. So the disciples asked him at the beginning, they say, hey, it's kind of scary. We need to know, you know, what do we need to look for so we'll know the sign of the time so we won't get caught.
Right.
So Jesus starts to tell them what to look for so they won't get caught unaware. So that's one reason people need to read Matthew 24, because everything in it is going to happen.
Gotcha.
And that is, that's signs that'll help us. The breadcrumbs are in there.
Okay.
So we won't get caught unaware. Because that was the biggest thing Jesus said to them. He said, make sure you don't get caught unaware.
Ah.
Make sure you don't get tricked.
Right.
So people that are ignorant get tricked.
Gotcha.
So he told them, don't be ignorant. So don't get tricked. That's one reason you need to read it. And what you're going to get out of it is the reality of what's unfolding before our eyes. Wars, rumors of wars, what we hear, he talked about that.
Right.
And it's in there. You're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. Mother going to hate daughter. Daughter going to hate mother. Son-in-law against dad. So that's what you're going to get out of it. You're going to see the things actually unfolding.
Wow.
That's in Matthew 24.
Deep.
Yeah, man.
Ooh, deep.
Yeah.
Yoda.
Ah, shout out.
Yoda.
I like that, man. I like that, bro. We might need to keep Yoda moment in there, bro. And Yoda. Don't tell me. I'm impressed with the first one, dude.
Okay.
High five. The reason you joined the church. That's fire.
Yeah, that was nice, man.
That's fire. I like that. Look, now, Reggie Bush, man.
He got his Heisman back.
Shout out to Reggie Bush. Let me say this. Maybe people don't know what exactly was he accused of? Why was he stripped of the Heisman Trophy?
It's called receiving extra benefits.
Can you go into details?
Specifically, they said that he received money.
From who?
From USC boosters.
Can we talk about boosters for a second?
Yeah, sure.
The negative effect of boosters?
Well, I'm a booster. I'm not. I mean,
you know, well, you know what I mean. Some boosters go. They go as far as even like the cash under the table.
Look, they're called friends of the program, and if you want a certain type of player, you gotta pay. There's just no way around that.
Okay.
The problem was they got caught paying.
Okay.
They weren't sharp in paying. that was the problem.
Okay.
There's never been a case where a top player, I mean big time, a game changing type player, is wants to come to your university. Right. You gonna pay him?
It was never a time when they didn't get paid.
Exactly.
So this crap.
It was illegal though with the NCAA.
But it was still happening.
Oh, absolutely, it was happening.
And here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. They knew, they just didn't make a big deal out of it. As long as it stayed underground.
Well, they couldn't prove it.
Okay, but they knew.
They couldn't prove it.
It's kind of like the feds knowing somebody's selling dope,
right,
but they can't.
Right.
That's they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. I mean, when your mom is in a new house and you riding a new car and you balling out like that and you're a college student, you're going to ask questions.
So, real quick, and I don't want to go down too far in the booster vein. We could talk about boosters a lot. I wanted to get your take on boosters. Mm-hmm. What is your take on boosters?
Well, a booster is all
are
a
they boost, beneficial?
No. All a booster is a alumnus of the university or someone that has ties to the university.
Okay.
I mean, the term that stands to be negative connotation is not necessarily always the case.
Okay.
I mean, you know, every fan is a booster. Like Juju, when she graduates from USC, she's going to be a booster of USC.
Okay.
You
right.
Know, but is she considered, you know, something negative or, you know, poor right. image of an athlete?
So no. The NIL wipes all that out now. All of it.
Yeah.
So is that the reason they were forced to give Reggie Bush his
absolutely. Today? Yeah, you have to. Because what they accused him of, all that's legal now.
Right.
All that's legal now.
Okay.
In fact, what they're getting now makes what he got.
It surpasses what he got back.
Gosh.
Then.
If Reggie Bush was my goodness. He would have really racked up.
Dude, Shador killing him.
Shador is killing him.
And I'm going to be honest.
That's good.
I know he's Deion's son, but I don't know if he's going to be an elite quarterback in the league.
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
Again, like every quarterback that got drafted this year, it's going to be dependent upon what team drafts you and what their situation is.
You know what they're saying hypothetically, right?
Because if you go to a bullshit team with some bullshit linemen,
right,
and no skill players, and your coach is on the hot seat, you're not going to do well.
Nah, and you won't look your talent.
Look what Trevor Lawrence did his first year with Urban Meyer. Yeah. That was a freaking train wreck.
Yeah, but he's a beast, dude.
But put him in a good situation, he would have done
beast,
better,
bro.
Yeah, he's good.
He a beast, bro.
He's a hell of a player.
I think they're gonna do real good this year too.
Yeah.
So Reggie Bush had to get that back because they had to bite the bullet on that. The NIL changed a lot. Lance.
Yeah. Oh, it did.
It changed a lot,
it
dude.
It did.
So shout out to Reggie Bush for getting that back, man. Because a lot of people did not realize the details of why he lost the Heisman.
You know,
believe it or not.
And like I said, that NIL, we talked about that. There are some trends now that's going on with this NIL.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm this is interesting. Seth Trimble was a member of the Carolina Tar Heel basketball team.
Okay.
After the season, he entered into the portal.
Mm.
Now he came back from the portal. He's decided to stay.
Okay.
So the message is, when you enter the portal, handle it with class.
Okay.
Because don't burn any bridges.
Right.
Because the coaching staff was like, hey, man, look, come back. We want you. You're a class act.
Right.
We want you.
Right.
So, and then there was a guy, Henry Parrish. Mm-hmm. He started at Ole Miss. Okay. He graduated in Miami High School, went to Ole Miss, played with Lane Kiffin,
mm-hmm.
played 1 year, then transferred to Miami for 2 years.
Right.
So all those 3 years, he balled out. He was a good player. Now he's transferring back to Ole Miss. That doesn't happen if you're not a class act. That doesn't happen if you put on Twitter or Instagram, you know.
He didn't burn bridges.
But he didn't burn any bridges.
That, at first I didn't know how I felt about the transfer portal because I was like, some players were kind of using it. If they're not that talented, if you're talented, you know what I'm saying, and you're not being played or treated right at this university or whatever, and you hit the transfer, that's cool. But if you're not, if you're barely a mid-tier, and you, because your feelings hurt, oh, I'm just going to use the transfer. Some people are using it for that.
Well,
you know,
if you're not, again, if you're not going to be able to play, and if you go to college, you got 5 years to play for.
Right.
If you're not going to play, if you're going to sit on the bench, you might as well transfer to some other school. I mean, if you want to play.
Yeah.
You know, look at Mark Sears was the point guard for Alabama this year.
Okay.
The lefty. He's the one that took him to the Final Four.
Okay.
He played in the MAC.
Okay.
And so he came out of high school at Muscle Shoals, Alabama. He went to a MAC school. Played 2 years in the MAC. Eventually been MAC player of the year. Then transferred to Alabama. So that's how the transfer portal has worked in his favor.
Okay.
You know, now he had an opportunity where he didn't have in high school. He had an opportunity to show that he could play in college. And now, hey, he's at the highest level.
And like I said, I didn't know how I felt about the transfer portal at first, but it all works together. It's all working good.
I think so.
All right. Look, NBA playoffs, man.
Mm.
Let's talk, bro.
Did you see Anthony Edwards?
Oh!
Sweep.
Bro, he's rough.
He ate KD's lunch, boy.
Woo! KD couldn't do nothing with him, bro.
He ate his lunch.
Did you see that one dunk from the side, that came, where he came from the left side of the goal? Bro, this dude is rough.
And he made the whole team better too. He wasn't just out there, you know, dominating. He was facilitating.
I think me, you, and Marcus, and I asked you and Marcus because I wasn't really familiar with that up and coming talent.
Right.
I think I asked you and Marcus and to give me a list of a few people that he was on. Remember?
It. Yeah, he was on it.
And he was on there, dude.
Oh, he's
no, that was my nephew. That was nephew when nephew was on here.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Right.
And Marcus was on there too. Because we was like, I'm like, what's the up and comers? And dude's name was on there.
Anthony Edwards is tough.
Dude, he's rough.
Wow. And that was impressive.
In the whole performance.
First round sweep for the Suns. You know, you had all those
dude,
players.
The Suns were in contention for the title, it could have been.
You had Booker, Durant.
And Booker looked raggedy, dude.
Yeah.
Turnovers.
But he coming off an Achilles, you know? I mean, he's not going to be the same type
player. Yeah,
but
his wrist ain't hurt. He turned the ball over, just throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bucks. You know what? Listen, bro. The Milwaukee Bucks.
Got injuries.
They do, but every year they tease me. Every year. Giannis and them. Every year, coach.
They won it 1 year.
1 year. How long Giannis been there?
I mean, but look, man. He's hurt. He's hurt. He's hurt. And Lillard's hurt.
Dame Lillard.
Giannis, they say he's got a pull on his Achilles too. So I wouldn't even play him. I would say screw this first year with Dame. And Doc Rivers.
Because he re-injured that.
Because if you re-injure that, that's your franchise.
And Dame is not a youngster, dude. He's been, you know, he ain't old, but.
He's
getting a little long in the tooth. That's just Steve Smith saying. Steve Smith, that's how he called you old. He said he's a little long in the tooth.
A little long in the tooth.
You never heard that.
That's an old folks saying.
He said it, man. He said it about Keenan Allen.
Right.
He said Keenan Allen is long in the tooth. Shout out to Steve Smith, bro. Pro bowler. A tough one. I remember seeing Steve Smith catch a touchdown pass and his arm was broke. Dude broke his forearm, and it was wobbling, and he still spiked the ball and ran to the sideline when he was with Carolina. A broke arm. Wow. Little bit of Steve Smith, dude.
He's hardcore. They don't make him like that no more.
Anthony Edwards, like you said, he's dominating. Yep. LeBron. Dude. Listen, that the win that the Lakers just got, dude, that was political. Denver. They should have swept them, bro.
Denver's going to go advance. I guess the question now is you know, does LeBron come back for another year?
I don't think so. Why? Why? To play with his son?
I mean, I don't know. I would think that at some point you would want to do something else. I mean,
look at Carmelo Anthony. Just faded out.
Yeah.
And he let his son step up.
Right.
So, Bron, come on.
Well.
Ain't no more rings.
No, ain't no more rings. Unless you jump on a super team that's set up.
And he's not going to be able to do that.
But he ain't going to do that with the Lakers. Not the way they constructed.
How many rings he got?
He got four.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
He'll be two short of Jordan. Mm-hmm. And one short of Kobe.
Right. Right.
And one short of Duncan.
Ooh, yeah.
Who has more than him?
Duncan.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, he's
Jalen Brunson with the Knicks.
Ooh, dude. I like him, tough, man. Bro. Man, I like Jalen.
I like him. He's like a little Wolverine, dude. Wow. He's tough, man.
Man.
What
Knicks other, been looking for that for a long
they
time.
They have. Wow. What other short point guard does he remind you of, like, back in the day that was kind of tough like that? He's kind of thick. He's not small. He's thick, so when he can take the body and still... You know what I mean?
You know, his game is, he's kind of like he's kind of got that tiny Archibald game.
That's good.
You know, but he's actually a lot bigger than right. Tiny Archibald, too.
He's tough. Like I said, he could take that body, you know.
He scores in the post like he's a 6'9", but he's, you know, he's not.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you would think he's 6'9".
He played like a big man.
Yeah.
I like him, dude. He got heart.
Brunson, bro.
Hey.
I said last year that the Knicks were four Brunsons short of a championship.
Wow.
So, you know, and they got some help with him now, but guys, that guy's good.
Stephen A. Smith, love him.
I love him, too.
That boy balled him for the Knicks, bro.
Man, I'm glad we got him.
Kawhi, man, he hurt again, dude.
Oh, man, put that womp womp for Kawhi.
I think Kawhi had his glory days when he hit the game winner.
Right.
In the playoffs, and they won it. Yeah.
I mean, he's a good player, and I mean, I'm not, and you know, but when you collect that sum of money and you're back home, and you know, what's the incentive now?
So he got a ring with the Raptors?
He got a ring with the Raptors.
And one with Spurs. Mm-hmm. So he got two.
Got two rings.
That was it. I think that's it for him.
Yeah, Clippers ain't winning no ring.
No.
Not with the players they got.
No. So with that.
Harden is looking good right now, but at some point, James Harden going to fade off into the playoffs to sunset, too.
He need to go to the European League.
Yeah.
Gone over there with the rest. Oh, man. Oh, boy. All right.
Have you watched the NHL playoffs?
I don't follow them closely. I just kind of check the highlights and the scores, to be honest. Do you follow them?
I don't. I do. I don't follow them, but I do check the scores and highlights.
Who you got?
But I was driving this guy, and they were talking about Dakota Joshua for Vancouver. You know, that's where this group was coming from.
Okay,
black guy.
That's what I was going to ask, because there's been a couple of black guys emerging in hockey.
There's, I think, 26.
Really?
Black players have been in.
Dude, I remember the first. I remember the first black player.
Who was that?
I don't remember his name, but I remember him. The one that I knew was the first black player to come on hockey.
In hockey?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm like, this dude is the first black player. Like, I didn't know his name. The fact that it's registered in my mind that we got a black dude to play in hockey. Right.
It's like 26 of them that come through so far.
You know, I said to the entertainer, say, if black people play hockey, they have on church shoes. Skating on the ice. Just out there skating. All right.
Y'all got the hockey history here in Mobile?
I remember the Mobile Generals.
You had a hockey team here?
Yes. They used to play down at the Civic Center. Yes.
Really?
Yep. The makeshift ice rink and all that.
Yeah.
I remember that. The Mobile Generals.
Mobile Generals.
Yes.
Because
they actually had the Mobile Generals for the hockey team and the little football team.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went to University of Maine.
Right.
And in 92, Maine won the national championship in hockey.
Really?
Yeah. Paul Kariya was a freshman on that team. Peter and Chris Ferraro played on that team. They were played for the Rangers.
Wow.
The goalie was Garth Snow, who I think is the general manager of the Islanders now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a good.
We were loaded that year.
That's cool.
Yeah, we were loaded that
year. Wow. You've been watching the UFL?
A little bit. Not as much. You know, I flip channels. I haven't sat and watched a whole game yet. But I flipped channels. I watched a little bit of St. Louis team. You know, A.J. McCarron is playing for them.
Right, right.
I saw him play a little bit. And I watched the Birmingham team play.
We actually got tickets to see them.
Really?
Next, in 2 weeks.
Who are they playing?
They're playing, the Birmingham Barons are playing somebody. I forgot. But we actually got tickets to go see. Yes, yes. Got tickets to go check them out. So it's funny that we're talking about that. So I look forward to seeing it in person. I like the UFL. The fact that they combined the XFL with the USFL.
Oh, it's going to be a great league.
Yeah, I think the Rock and what they're doing
it's
is going
to be a great league.
I think they just got to build their...
You got to build the name, the brand.
The brand.
All.
Yeah. I like it. And it's competitive.
Absolutely. It's good football.
And the stands are more packed. You see more people in the stands now. I pay attention to that.
It's good football.
That's real. Now, here's what I want to kind of go over before we move off of that. In your opinion... Is that could that be a stepping stone for somebody that maybe came from college, didn't make the cut in the NFL, right? So they go to the UFL. Could they get a look from the NFL?
Yeah. It's the same as the CFL in Canada. So okay. Here the only difference is you're playing in the States.
But you still can get a look from a recruit.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Senior Bowl, you had representatives from the CFL, you had representatives from the UFL.
I didn't know that.
The new league.
UFL.
And you had representatives from the NFL.
So
all the divisions were represented.
So now the UFL qualifies as a stepping stone or like a bridge kind of between them.
Absolutely. For coaches, too.
Right. Almost like a D-League. Yeah.
You could say that, yeah, in a way. You could say that.
I think that's good.
I mean, they're the next step of you know, to the NFL.
That's what I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So that answers my question.
Yeah.
I think that's really good.
I think there are players that will definitely come out of that league and play in the NFL.
Deion Sanders mentioned this UFL because, you know, he got his boys up there at Colorado. So, you know, his boys may benefit from the UFL. He said it. He said, hey, one of my boys may have to stop there on his way to the league.
The safety. The what's his name?
Deion? I forgot. You heard
the
what
safety.
It, so you heard the same
he's
thing.
Not, he's not NFL.
Not ready.
Right. Yet.
But
right.
That could be a developmental
absolutely
part of the process.
Absolutely.
I love it.
It's a great league.
Cool. Cool. All right. Oh, my bad. All right. Here's one. Sports Jeopardy. The Final Drive.
The Final Drive.
Last time you had a speeding ticket.
A month ago. I went to traffic school Saturday.
I went. I think I had one about. It's been not a month ago. It's been like 8 months ago.
Maybe. 8 months ago.
Yes, and I went to traffic school.
I went Saturday. And you know, I was in a rental car. I had just gotten a rental car, and I just opened. You know, you just want to see how I ride.
Did you tell the cop that? He don't care, do
he? Don't care. Yes, sir, officer. That was a wrap. Hey, so I paid my fine. That's it.
Kyle for a super hours.
Hey, ever drink and drive?
Oh, man. When I was younger, I used to do it all the time. When I was in the military, I was in Virginia. I would leave from Portsmouth, Virginia, or I lived in Portsmouth, Virginia, so I would leave from Virginia Beach sometime or Norfolk, and I would drive from Norfolk to Portsmouth. I had to go over a bridge and through a tunnel, so I remember one night I was so drunk. I had on my camos, though, and the cop pulled me over, and when I got out, when he saw my camos, he was like, you heading home, soldier? I was like, yeah. He was like, get on. You know, like, I ain't on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I got stopped like that.
Wow.
Do you?
I have, yes. Which story you want me to tell?
Any close calls?
Yeah, 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 sure, of course.
I done fell asleep at the light before.
Man, I was at the light once, and it in Orange, New Jersey. There's a White Castle's there, and man, I thought the car caught on fire. I jumped out the car. I was like, "Yo, it's on fire! The car's on fire!"
Why?
I don't know. I just thought the car was on fire. I was hallucinating, I guess.
That sounded like you was doing more than drinking.
Bad, yeah. I don't know, but you know. So look, I learned this though. This is interesting. This is for anybody. This is good for anybody listening. If you get stopped by the police, you do, and this is not for someone, this is not to be an arrogant prick towards the police. Be respectful.
Right.
But if you get stopped by the police and you're respectful and you're doing everything right, and this police officer is totally rude and unacceptable behavior towards you.
Right.
You have the right to ask him to call their supervisor.
Okay,
and their they have to do it. Their supervisor will either call you on your cell phone or show up to that spot.
Wow.
Then you could. Then you can let the supervisor know what happened. But you have that right. Now you still gonna get the ticket.
Right.
But at least you have the knowledge to know if that police officer is doing you wrong, and you're doing everything correct, being respectful, and you could clearly see that this officer has an issue. You could ask to speak with their supervisor.
That's good to know, and it's good to put into practice so that people, like the officers, will know, hey, I can't be out of line because they may request my supervisor.
Now, I ain't talking about the cop comes to the car and you're being,
You got to be cooperative. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Then a ninja.
Yeah, right. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know. So, look. If you could replace Roger Goodell with a female commissioner, ESPN sports anchor, prior to hearing your name called at the NFL draft, who would you choose? Boy, I got somebody. I know who I want.
So I come on stage and I get to hug one?
Don't pick mine, bro.
I got Eminem.
No, bro.
I got Eminem.
No, bro. All right.
I got McNutt.
We're going to have to share.
She got a new
butt. I'm glad she's a McNutt. I'm glad she's a McNutt.
McNutt that butt. Well, I'm running on stage.
Bruh. So you would choose her over Molly? Molly, dude.
Molly's strong too now.
Hey, Kieran.
She's a good reporter as well.
But I think I need Eminem, dude. Because she introduced you the right way.
The way
she would
stand on the stage with that sway.
Boy, when she shimming them shoulders. And when she shimming them shoulders.
My jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And shimming them shoulders.
Oh, no.
Shout out to
go ahead, McNutt.
Hey, Monica McNutt, if you were listening to this, we sure want to interview you.
Come on, McNutt.
Come on, McNutt. And we only want you to shimmy your shoulder one time. Yeah,
oh,
bro.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that would be it.
What series are you currently watching?
Halo. I'm watching Halo. On Prime, it's a military. It's actually a game. It's a movie based on a game.
Oh, based on a game?
Yes, a game.
Really?
Halo. The name of it is Halo. Fire. It's off the chain.
And it's on Prime?
Yes, Prime Video. You would love it.
Okay.
It's two seasons. I'm on season two.
Season two.
Yes. Go do Halo.
Halo.
You would love Master Chief.
Okay.
It's your type movie.
I'm gonna check it out. Halo.
What you watching?
I just
BMF. I don't know if you
watch BMF.
Do you watch BMF?
I hadn't started it yet.
I'm watching BMF.
I've just finished Hung. It's
what's that on?
It's on HBO Max.
Okay.
I watched the first season. I'm not going to go any further, but it was entertaining. It's a guy from Detroit who's got a big schlong and he's down on his luck. Everything's going bad, and he gets involved with this. You know, he's a male escort, you know.
Is that why you go to not go any further?
Yeah, I guess not. I could talk a lot about
it. Do you not like it?
It was actually entertaining, but, you know, it kind of, after a season, you kind of,
yeah. It's pause.
It can only go but so far.
Yeah, especially, Hung.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be a big fan of the Hung.
No.
Who would win a game or horse, Steph Curry or Damian Lillard? Right now, I think Steph will win.
Steph will win, because Dame hurt.
Dame hurt right now, bro.
Dame hurt, so we're going to go with Steph. So take this out. So let's say you run in point. Mm-hmm. You're coming down the court, and you could throw an alley-oop pass to any NBA player, past or present, who do you want catching your lob and flushing it down?
Can I give a pass and a present? Can I get both?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to tell you something.
You got on your tight 50 shorts. Who you throwing it to back in the day?
Michael Cooper.
Ooh, the Cooper Loop.
Cooper Loop.
Okay. Okay.
And the reason I like that is because of how Magic made it look, dude.
Right.
When he threw that joker. The Cooper Loop. You remember the Cooper Loop? I know.
It was... Hey, they were cold.
Nah, present... Dang. Present. Give me a second. Present, I would have to go with...
Anthony Edwards.
I would like him, uh-huh. but I would have to go with the Pelicans. What's his name?
Zion. Okay.
I would throw one in Zion.
A hard flush.
Yes. Who you got?
So I'm going Dr. J.
Mm.
He catching mine. That would be, for me, that would be, that would be like, you know.
Mean.
You know, he was my idol growing up. You know what I mean? So wow. For him to catch my lob, oh man. I would faint after that. That would be it.
What you got, future? I mean, present.
Present. Let's go, Ja Morant.
Ja Morant. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know why I said Michael Cooper? Because I think he was underrated. I think Michael
a hell of a, he was a hell of a player.
Hell of a player, man.
But you, where do you fit in? You got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You got Magic Johnson. That's you got tough. James Worthy. So you fourth on the spot right
That's
there.
Tough, bro.
I mean, and he did well. He served up.
Yeah,
he was good.
Yeah. All right. What's your go-to adult drink?
Grey Goose Martini, straight up, two olives.
Is that what we had? Is that what you had at Skyview?
Yes.
Remember you had two of them. Remember you warned? No, wait. Well, hold on. I got to tell this
two
story.
Two is my
y'all.
Limit.
Hold on. I got to tell y'all this story. All right, so we're in the Skyview Lounge on, I think it was that Friday night, Friday or Saturday. So, Coach pull up. Like, Coach, what you drinking? And you said, just what you said. He was like,
Grey Goose Martini.
Right.
Straight up, 2 hours.
2 hours. You said, let me warn y'all. And you said this after you got your first one. You about two sips in. He's like, I want to warn y'all. I only need one drink. I don't need to have two. Well, I don't know how it happened, but it happened where he wound up with another one.
Because so, AG came in.
That's what it was. Now, after AG came in, who in the world was this female? So this female comes up. I don't see her. So my back is to her. But Coach is looking at me. He's facing me in the cheek. He on the second martini. He already telling me I'm going to be losing control. He knocks half the people over at the table to get to this chick. Who is this chick?
Who remember?
At Skyview, remember? You saw her. You was like, I saw this chick. It was a friend. It was a childhood friend.
Childhood friend?
It was a childhood friend. It was this beautiful female. She said, hey, Lance.
Sonya.
There you go.
Sonya. Yeah. Sonya. Yeah, that she worked at the hotel. She worked at the Riverview.
That second martini had you with some 2020 vision, Jack. I had to tell that
and
funny
I
told, story.
And look, and what I do. See ya.
Yeah, the league. Yeah, you know your limit.
I know my limit.
You gotta know your limit,
bro.
Yeah,
you gotta know my limit.
You gotta know your limit. My dope drink is, I like Ciroc apple.
Ciroc apple?
Yes, vodka.
Okay.
Nah, if I had to do tequila, Casamigo. Yes, I go to Casamigo. And I like Casamigo because it's rich and it's not cheap.
Okay.
So that's my go-to.
Okay. So take me to a place that you have seen through your eyes for someone who's never left Mobile or never left where they're ever listening to us from. Tell us something where you've seen in your travels, in your life, something special in your eyes.
I saw the actual pyramids in Egypt.
Nice. What was that like?
Crazy. I saw the pyramids. I saw the Sphinx. You know, the Sphinxes that they make. I saw all of that. I saw the actual desert. I was in the desert, the actual desert.
Was this when you was in the Navy?
In the Navy, yes. So I saw the pyramids, and what was so dynamic about the pyramids is the fact that True fact. The bricks that were on the pyramid, one brick, probably one boulder, is probably the size of the average living room. So they didn't have yellow gear, so you wonder how they built them. That's why they wanted the wonders of the world, because they wonder how did you build them. Right. And here's a fact, a known fact: the bricks are so precisely placed together that you can't take a piece of paper and slide it between them. Wow! You can't even slide a piece of paper between the pyramid bricks. That's how sealed they are.
Wow.
So that was something I saw that was phenomenal.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, I was in London and I saw these Stonehenge.
Yeah, oh, I think we talked about
those rocks.
That makes me want to go there.
It's fenced in now.
So you can't,
like, you can't get up. I sat on them. I sat
that's
on
what
the
I'm
rocks.
Talking about.
Yeah, you can't do that now. Because but it's like you riding in this country land in England, you know, just farmland, and all of a sudden you come up, you see the rocks.
Right.
And you stop the car, get out, and take pictures right there.
So if you walk, so Stonehenge is where, like, the rocks are placed on each other, right?
Yeah.
Like, right. So when you, if you stand on your feet next to one, how tall was it?
I would say roughly right here, like your table.
Like
right
to here. Hip, maybe hip height?
Yeah, a little bit more. Like from standing vertically, they were taller than me.
Right.
But the horizontal was probably like maybe 2 or 3 feet.
But the vertical ones, how tall were they? Approximately.
Maybe 5 to 6 feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were, five to seven feet,
yeah.
So did a human do this? Did a human make Stonehenge?
You know, this was back in, you know, the knight King Arthur days.
Right.
Yeah.
So somebody designed it, though. They placed the stones on top of them.
No, I don't think they actually placed it like that.
I wonder how that happened.
Yeah, it's a great history to it. But you know, I just know I was there.
Wow. That's fire.
Yeah.
That's fire, man. Wow. Huh. All right. Who will win in a loud voice contest between Stephen A. Smith and Pat McAfee? I don't like Pat McAfee.
I don't either. I'm going Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. And I'm picking Stephen A. just for GP because I don't like Pat. My mama don't like Pat McAfee.
If your mama don't like him,
and
then
she's 78. Shout out to mama.
Shout out to mama. Which WNBA player are you taking to your high school prom?
Oh. Angel Reese.
Angel Reese?
It's so many.
It's a lot. It's
you yeah. can't do that. You got to give me a pass in the. You got to give me a pass pulling in the. You know what I'm saying? So give me two, bro. Let me pick from, like, you know, Lisa Leslie in them days.
Oh man,
Lisa Leslie too tall, bro.
Wrap them big legs around
you. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go with her though. Past Lisa in the past, but you give me your past, and then we'll give you our present.
I'm going with Skylar Diggins.
See, I knew you was gonna pick one that I was gonna miss, dude.
She's strong, great point guard, great handles,
carry the rock good.
Yeah, she can carry that
ball,
rock, pass the ball.
So look,
she's spinning all the way around. Dishing the
is
rock.
She good in the paint or is she better from the arc?
She draining it, boy.
Draining it?
Yeah, she draining it.
Okay.
She draining it.
So my future, the present one, a present NBA player. I'm going Angel Reese, bro.
Hey, I take her to the prom.
Who you got?
I told you Skylar Diggins. The number two, what was the two pick in the WNBA? I'll take her.
Which one that who's
that was the number two pick?
That's why you're gonna take it.
Let's move on to the next question.
Hold on, no, coach.
Let's move on to the next question.
All right, come on. Okay, come on. All right. Who would you hire as your accountant? Oh man, MC Hammer. Allen Iverson, Andre Rison, or Keith McCann. Dude, all of them suck.
I wouldn't let none of them touch my
money. None of them. Listen.
Do you remember that story about the on ESPN, the 30 for 30 on Keith McCants?
No.
Keith McCants looked the camera. He said, man, at one point, he said, I had 11 mortgages. He said, I ain't know who was in the houses.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Andre Rison told the dude, he said, they were driving, and his agent said that that would make a good daiquiri shop. He wrote him a check for $40,000.
Right. I remember
and
that.
And he said he never went back to see if it even opened.
Yep. $40,000.
And yeah. Hammer and Iverson just had too many people on their payroll.
Hey, they say MC Hammer water bill was $25,000 a month. Because he had the
Jesus Christ. Hammer was spending that money before he could get it. I ain't mad at him, man. Give him a hand clap, man. I'm not mad at him, man. Spend that money, Hammer.
They say Hammer had a whole river run through his house, man. Oh my goodness. That's a LA water. Had water. He had a whole river going through his house, bro.
Oh my goodness,
I'm crying, bro.
You know, I had a guy just drive down here, and his accountant he told me that his accountant fired Allen Iverson. Because, and the reason why is because
his accountant,
they had the same accountant. The guy was
How
driving.
How did the accountant fire Iverson?
Because as an accountant, think of it, as an accountant, how would it look if a high profile client of yours went bankrupt on your watch?
Okay.
That doesn't look good on your watch.
Okay.
So if they're not going to listen to you and heed your advice,
you fire them. Wow. Mm-hmm. Even though, but Allen Iverson acquired his services, though, right? Initially, as an accountant, right?
But the accountant has the right to...
That's crazy. Yeah. I've never heard that the fact that somebody that hires you, you got the right to fire them.
Absolutely. Because the accountant, that's his client as well. Allen Iverson is his client.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Coach. But I'm saying initially
it goes both ways.
Does okay? So when Iverson got his money, right? This is when he got his money, he hit hard. It's time to get an accountant. Iverson
secures the services of the accountant.
Him, right? He reached out to this guy,
which then makes Allen Iverson the accountant's client,
right?
Which means you could be a good client or a bad client, and you relieve yourself of bad clients.
So he's a lawyer.
Who?
Lawyers can do that, right? Can lawyers fire their clients?
Sure.
Like if I acquire the services of a lawyer for whatever case, and then I'm like, you know, I'm acting a fool. Doing
the lawyer can fire the client, and the client can fire the lawyer.
Wow.
Same as the accountant.
So they had to fire Allen Iverson.
He fired Allen Iverson
because he was
going to go broke.
He was making bad choices.
He was making his payroll didn't add up to the income that he was coming in. You know, over $100,000 a month in payroll. You know, you go broke. Go broke pretty quick.
Sheesh.
Yeah, man.
So did Allen Iverson ever bounce back financially?
I believe he did.
Because I think people helped him out.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had a deal with Reebok that he just kicked in.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
worth several million. So I think he's back on, you know, where he was, but he's not, you know,
that's
he could be broke.
Let me ask you this before we move off this subject. Why you think Mike Vick's name should have been up there? Or you just think his was just off the field trouble?
Well, there was never any known issue of Mike Vick losing a lot of money, my knowledge.
He was paying for an entourage.
I'm sure
his cousins and his homeboys and the
you could probably talk about half the NFL that's done that.
Right.
Yeah. But as long as you got something, he seems like he still has something.
These guys you got on here, though,
right.
I start laughing when I start naming the names, bro. It's obvious. They all suck with money.
Yeah. Bad choices financially.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, real quick, what was the name of the other quarterback that had the biggest bust? Ryan Leaf. What happened to him?
I want to say he's out in Montana somewhere.
He never did.
Mm-mm. He never did pan out.
Yikes.
Yeah, he never. He got into coaching. Wow. He was into coaching. He was into coaching.
I think he had an alcohol problem, I think.
He did. An alcohol and pills.
Was it?
And pills.
Probably pain pills.
Yeah, some opioid or something. I don't know. I don't want to say addiction. What he did, but he had some sort of addiction to
opioid
to pills.
Addiction is big.
And alcohol.
Mm-hmm. In sports because of the injuries and.
And you get hooked on. Taking that for pain.
Brett Favre admitted that he got hooked on.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I could see it because you're trying to play and you know that you're replaceable. And so
you're doing whatever you gotta do.
You do what you have to do. Yeah. So I can see it. So let's we got a challenge.
All right.
This is a tongue twister.
Let me see if I can get this.
Remember our last podcast, we asked who would win a tongue twister. We asked Trish who would win a tongue twister contest between Shannon Sharp and Mike Tyson.
Right.
And she said Mike Tyson would win.
She did.
And so here's a tongue twister.
All right.
And you just have to repeat after me.
All right.
And we'll see how far you can go.
Hold on. Let me get a sip of water, bro. Okay. Hold on. Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'll say one fat hen. And then you say one fat hen.
Okay.
Then I'll say couple of ducks.
All right.
And you'll say one fat hen, couple of ducks.
Okay.
See how that goes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you ready?
Gotcha.
Okay. One fat hen.
One fat hen.
Couple of ducks.
One fat hen, couple of ducks.
Three black bears.
One fat hen, couple of ducks, three black bears.
Four fat, fickle females. fiddling fudge. want me to do it again?
Four fat fickle females fiddling fudge.
That's correct, but you gotta start from the beginning.
Okay.
So I'll say it again. Four fat fickle females fiddling fudge.
All right. Now, one, remind me of what it was again. I forgot, dude. One what?
One fat hen.
One fat hen. Two.
Couple of ducks. Three black bears. Four fat.
Fickle.
Females.
Fiddling fudge.
You ready for five?
Yes.
Five simple Simons sitting on a stoop.
Dude, I can't remember all that. One. I don't remember, dude. You got me.
So you got up to four. I got up to four.
Okay, that
you
was
got
good.
Up to four.
I got one for you.
All right.
I'm going to say it first, and then you say it right after me.
Mm-hmm.
One smart fellow felt smart. Two smart fellows felt smart. Three smart fellows felt smart. Four smart fellows felt smart, and they all felt smart together. One smart fellow felt smart.
One smart fellows felt smart.
Two smart fellows felt smart.
Two smart fellows felt smart.
Three smart fellows smelled smart. They smell smart. Get to four. Do four.
Four smart smellers. Oh no, that was a
right. One smart fellow felt smart. Two smart fellows felt smart. Three smart fellows felt smart. Four smart fellows felt smart. And they all felt smart together. Dude.
One fat hen, couple of ducks, three black bears, four fat, fickle females fiddling, filling fudge. Five simple Simons sitting on a stoop. Six symbiote sailors sailing the seven seas on a serpent.
I can't remember.
Oh, no, I got it wrong. Six sensational Steeler Super Bowl Sundays. Seven same bad sailors, seven to seven seas on a serpent.
Oh!
Eight egotistical egoists echoing egotistical echoes. Nine new neblons nibbling. That's nuts, nicotine.
Come on.
10. I never was a fig plucker nor a fig plucker's son, but I'll pluck figs till the fig plucker comes.
Oh! That was hard.
Ooh!
Shout out, bro.
That has a lot of beer drinking that I know.
That ain't no damn tongue twister. That's an encyclopedia, bro. Mine was a tongue twister.
Booyah.
That was good, bro. That was good. Episode number 3. Life after the draft, man. It's been good. It's been your boy, Mr. You Better Live. We got the on the field coach.
Rest assured, this is Coach Boston. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Shout out. And you got your boy, Mr. You Better Live, the off the field coach, a.k.a. Mr. Coach Reback, a.k.a. Mr. Football Know It All. This has been episode number 3. Appreciate y'all for pulling up with us. Yeah.
Peace.